Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations. Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time...
Oh, you didn't know? You have been a call somebody!
First, representing this week in Geek... And from parts unknown, he is Mike, the Birdman, Don.
I am one hardcore D-O double D.
I'm a nice man. I'm a nice man.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike. TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan the Uneven Flow. You are listening to Mayhem Mike's. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Mayhem Mike's. This is time for the Royal Rumble. I am, of course, Steve Joe and Mike. Joining me, as always, Ryan, that even Flo Merkley. Mike Dodd, I spoke to him right before we did this recording. Actually, he's doing in really, really great spirits. He's waiting to find out when he's going to go to his next rehab place, but he's doing very, very well, folks. So just keep Mike in your prayers and all that good stuff, but he's making a hell of a lot of good progress. He's taking care of himself, and we're here to talk about the 2017 Royal Rumble.
If Mike were Roman Reigns, there'd be no chance of anything damaging him.
Well,
I know I'm being too hard on him.
I don't know. I think all that negativity would damage him because everybody likes to boo Roman Reigns all the time now. Still.
Yeah.
So Royal Rumble started out with, we had two kickoff matches, I'm sorry. Started off with the six-woman tag match where Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, and Naomi defeated... Alexa, Natalya, and Mickie James.
You were right, by the way. There were three, but anyway.
Were there?
Yep. Sasha and Nia.
Oh, that's right.
We'll get to that later, but anyway.
Yeah, I was right. There was okay.
Right the first time. Don't second guess yourself.
Yeah, I read that wrong. Well, you know, when. Certain news is broken that is fake, then it, you know, kind of tugs at your heartstrings because you're like, oh, anyway, never mind.
Roman Reigns cheered. That's good
news. Anyway. Alternative WWE facts. Roman Reigns is the best of the entire company.
He might have been at Rumble, but we'll get to that later.
Anyway. As always, I don't watch Kickoff. Did you watch Kickoff this time?
I'm not going to lie. I've gone back and watched it. But, yeah, okay. When this started, I think I tuned in about halfway through the Gallows and Anderson Sheamus Cesaro match. So I originally missed the six-woman tag match. It was good, and I mean, everybody got a chance to shine, but in all honesty, like, it wasn't a lot more involved or anything than the six women tag matches we see on SmackDown or anything else. I mean, it was solid. It sets up the Naomi Alexa Bliss feud well.
And how many times in the past three episodes have we said, unless you're doing tornado tag, more than a traditional two-man or two-woman tag team is too much?
I think it's okay once in a while, but there's so many of these. And then and then on the same SmackDown, they'll do one with all the tag teams.
Yeah.
And then they'll have, you know, 12 people in at once. Like, there's not a lot of ways for somebody to shine or put in good work when you're, you know, have that many people to fit in 5 minutes or less.
If you're going to do a large match like that, make it over-the-top rope disqualification. Or make it some sort of weird...
Elimination wouldn't be bad either, actually.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying that something where everybody can do it... Basically, no DQ, but everybody can do whatever the hell they want. You know, so basically an Extreme Rules match or something, where it's like every man for himself kind of thing. I can never really, like, this week's, and we'll get to this later at the end of the show, but I just finished earlier today watching this past week's February 7th SmackDown. And they had another one of those, or it was either SmackDown or Raw this week. Anyway, they had another one of those tag matches where it was everybody for himself because they're promoting, I think it was SmackDown, because they're promoting Elimination Chamber. And I'm like, I can't watch this. It's just too much.
SmackDown also had the multi-tag team match again.
That's what I'm saying.
I think the biggest issue is just they're overusing these multiple person tag matches. They're doing it for the Cruiserweights. They're doing it for the SmackDown women. They're doing it for the SmackDown tag. And then on occasion, you get it in Raw as well. That's a lot of multi-person tag matches in 1 week. Between all of the shows and then potentially a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So stop it. Anyway, this was solid, though, and I'll say this, too. One thing Royal Rumble did really, really well was set up feuds and matches for Elimination Chamber and then Fastlane. And possibly WrestleMania, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then we had the, let's see here.
Tag match was next.
Yeah, the Raw Tag Team Championship match. No, wait. Did we talk about Nia Jax?
That's third.
Oh, okay. Oh, we were talking about the women's. Oh, I'm sorry, distracted tonight. Holy crap. Yeah, so we get the Raw Tag Team match. Gallows and Anderson defeating Cesaro and Sheamus. Apparently there were two referees assigned.
Yes, that was the stipulation because there was constant cheating going on all their other matches. So they decided to do a two referee thing, which didn't work out because, I mean, Sheamus drilled the one ref. And by the way, if you're looking for a highlight to watch, man, that ref sells it like crazy. I'm pretty sure there was some level of contact there because...
Does he sell it like Mills Lane used to sell it on Celebrity Deathmatch? Sorry.
I don't know. He says, well, there's police cars in the background. So, well, you, that is not me.
We are at,
we don't have police.
Yeah. We were just at Roadblock, end of the line, so...
So anyway, Gallows and Anderson finally win the tag belts, which they're slowly getting built back up after being booked pretty poorly for a long time and looking kind of bad. So they kind of needed to do this, and I don't know where they're going exactly with Cesaro and Sheamus, if they're going to keep them together, or they keep teasing this them breaking up, and then they do it again in the Rumble, which we'll get to, but I don't know. I just don't know where they go from this. And Gallows and Anderson, I mean, I think they kind of needed to put the belts on them just because...
Finally.
Yeah, they needed something to look better than they have now for months.
Well, again, this is another tag team where they've tried things out on. They've tried them being super serious and heels. They've tried them to be the jokey, not really faces, but they've tried them to be the jokey heels where they do these stupid-ass skit. I'm sorry. A tag team that looks and is as physically dominant as Gallows and Anderson are, they should not be doing crap like Concession Kane.
That's the one
Kane
thing they really didn't have them do consistently is have them like just go out there and beat people up because they're huge.
Yeah.
And not to mention, it's not just about being physically large. Some of it's your moves being like high impact or looking really rough. And that's another thing they do really well. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the little segments with Dana Brooke and then some of the comments in the day really didn't help them. Even though Gallon is funny, especially in real life, but it doesn't work when you look like that. And sometimes you kick ass, other times you do really bad comedy skits because WWE's kind of hit and miss with the comedy thing.
Yeah. And then the last kickoff was Nia Jax versus Sasha, and she basically put Sasha in the hospital.
Yeah, it was a quick, surprising squash match without a lot of focus on the injured knee. There was a decent amount, but Nia just kind of ran through her. So they're obviously continuing that kind of storyline / push for...
Well, they got to do something with Nia because they got to get her into the women's division somehow. Because I'm assuming if Charlotte retains the championship, they'll eventually have the two of them go after each other, or they'll develop some sort of storyline where Nia wants a shot at the Raw Women's Championship. Because this whole Charlotte Bailey thing, like, sure, I want Bailey to get her comeuppance. I want her to earn that title. I do. I want to see that title on her waist, but at the same time, and I know WWE storylines sometimes take forever, and we've talked about this at length in the past 2 years, sometimes it's good to also just get it out of the way. Just go ahead and do it. You know, look at Sasha and Charlotte. You know, they went back and forth. That one won. They got the belt back from each other for, what, 6 or 7 months or whatever that was? And, yeah, don't drag out storylines more than they have to be. Drug out.
Yeah, I think it worked well in that case because they were good enough to eventually main event pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And one of the problems they're going to have here is Nia's not good enough yet. She's still got some kind of... I don't know. She's still got some kind of issues in terms of her wrestling and camera presence and that kind of thing. And, I mean, she hasn't been doing this long. I mean, in her defense, I'm not trying to, you know, berate her or anything like that. She's just new to the business. She's improved rapidly.
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Braun Strowman looks great, but there's a reason they don't give him 20-minute matches against, you know,
Kalisto.
Guys.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of somebody small who's not Sami Zayn.
Kalisto.
Could probably pull off a 20-minute match with Scarecrow and somehow it would be half decent, so
the pay-per-view
Scarecrow, not the Scarecrow, that would be interesting. I mean, Fear Toxin versus Sami Zayn's energy, I mean,
yeah, that would be interesting.
Alright, fine, back to wrestling.
No, that would be interesting. At first, the first thing I thought of was, oh my god, you put the Tin Woodsman in there and the Cowardly Lion, just wait for Dorothy to come down, because I've been watching Emerald City on NBC, but anyway.
The Cowardly Lion was Seth Rollins' old character. Speaking of which, we should mention he got banned from this event for running into the NXT pay-per-view. So he wasn't at the Royal Rumble.
Yep. Well, actually, what happened was, and I'm sure that's true, but for running into NXT, but Triple H, you know, somebody hit the music, caused him to lose the match that he was had to have won in order to even be in the Rumble. So part of the storyline was that because he lost to, who was he fighting, Sammy? Or he's fighting somebody.
Sami Zayn.
Yeah, he was fighting Sammy. So he lost to Sammy, which basically disqualified him from the thing, which then part of the storyline was, okay, well, because I'm disqualified, I'm going to go to Triple H's house at NXT, and then obviously that's really what got him banned.
Well, we learned later on in the Royal Rumble night that losing a match doesn't necessarily preclude you from the Rumble, apparently.
Yeah, that's true.
Even if you were already in a title match. Anyway.
Yeah, that's very true. So we kick off the main event, Raw Women's Championship, Charlotte versus versus Bayley. This was... It's interesting seeing these two... It's interesting seeing Charlotte go up against Bayley because Charlotte versus Sasha, they're not exactly the same body type, but they're, because Charlotte's obviously a little taller, but they're more evenly matched than Charlotte.
Yeah, Bayley's much bigger than Sasha is. Most people are bigger than Sasha, though, too, so.
That's true. So I thought that was interesting. Of course, Charlotte's going to win this one. Again, you know, I think they go the triple match rule like we were saying earlier. You know, you do the first match, the second match, and then the rubber match, and then the rubber match if you want the other person to win, have them win or whatever. But I enjoyed this match. Any thoughts on Charlotte versus Bayley?
It was solid. I figure, you know, they're going to build up and they'll do the actual change or Charlotte's pay-per-view streak goes away at WrestleMania, but we'll see.
Yeah. And then we had the WWE Universal Championship no disqualification match with Y2J in a shark cage.
So, a few things. I mean, first of all, the stipulation of the shark cage was stupid if you're going to make it no DQ anyway. Because, I mean, then you just have somebody else run out, which is exactly what happened. Not to mention you have Jericho dropping down brass knuckles. Yeah. So, when I talk about that I like Reigns, but man, they just don't do the poor guy any favors, this was another good match. Because when you punch somebody in the head with brass knuckles, they should probably be going down. I know wrestling's not real, but there's some stuff that suspends disbelief, or there's some suspension of disbelief needed. Mm-hmm. And the concept that Reigns is just like, well, I got beat up the entire match, and now I'm getting punched in the face with brass knuckles. Well, I'll just kick out of that, too.
Yeah, he didn't sell that very well, and wrestling's real to us, damn it.
No, but I mean, you know, again, like, he took two super kicks and then gets the frog splash through, from the outside on through a table.
Yeah.
And then Owens, like, pummels him some more and there's all this other stuff. I don't know. It doesn't work that well when you have, like, just that much abuse. But anyway, yeah, Braun ends up interfering.
Yeah, so the whole thing for me, you know, you're saying that much abuse on one part of the match reminds me of the old Looney Tunes gag, where it might be Bugs, it might be somebody else, where they hold up the sign. Kind of one-sided, isn't it? And that's, like, we've talked about on other episodes, on past episodes of the podcast, where I've said I really enjoy the... Even though I like this one, you take Dean Ambrose and John Cena. I enjoy them both. I don't really root for either one of them when they face each other because I enjoy both people. I enjoy both of their characters and what they're doing in the WWE. So, but I've said before on the podcast where, like, you take Dean and AJ. I love watching them work. Watching Kevin and Roman work in this match almost hurt me. Because it just, either they didn't get their shit together before the show, during the show, or whatever, or nothing. I know some of this stuff is planned. Some it has to be choreographed. It has, you know, we talked about this last time where, you know, you know, you said that sometimes they'll just use one word or whatever, so you know, you don't actually hear it during the match because obviously the mics aren't going to be that close to them. But it's just one of those things where some matches are pretty fucking ugly, and this match was ugly. It was. You take the ugly duckling and multiply him times a million, and that's what this match was.
Wow, I didn't think it was that bad. I liked my favorite bits were Owens and the Tower of Chairs,
mm-hmm.
which he would inevitably end up going through.
Yeah.
Which I think he's joked before a few times on podcasts that, yeah, maybe I should stop doing that because he always ends up going through them. But anyway, that was a highlight. The frog splash through a table was really good. I liked that. But I think for me, the thing is, you want to... It's like any type of fiction, right? You want to be able to lose yourself in it. You want to be able to feel that it's real and feel that the characters and everything are there. And to me, when you have, you know, Reigns get pummeled for a significant portion of the match and get hit by, you know, brass knuckles and whatever,
mm-hmm.
that's...
Yeah.
They shouldn't, you know, that's... The suspension of disbelief can only go so far. You're kind of pushing it at that point. So, yeah, it's...
I would have rather... I mean, the whole Jericho shark cage thing... Excuse me. The whole Jericho shark cage thing, it was funny for a while. But in the actual match, what I would have loved to have had it... I would have loved to have had it be a handicap match. Where... Because Roman had the U.S. title still, right? Or did he already lose that?
No, he's already lost it in the was in the earlier right. handicap match.
That's right. Damn it. What I would have loved to have had them do, and I don't think they would have ever done this, but basically do a reversal of fortune for KO and Jericho, where if Roman put... You know, and I know people hate... I know you sometimes say you hate these career versus title matches, but honestly... I know Roman's not ready to leave just yet, but honestly, I would have rather have had him put up something that was really important to him, whether it was his career or something.
His hair.
against their two titles. And then if he won, which obviously he wasn't going to, but if he won, he would be the singular Universal United States champion. And then everybody would just have lost their shit because everybody hates Roman Reigns in the world. That would have been an interesting story point for me if they had done it that way and had him win both belts. But obviously KO won and Jericho still dangling from the cage. Then we had the Cruiserweight Championship match between Neville and Rich Swann, and Neville defeated Rich Swann. I've always liked Neville. I've liked Neville since he first appeared. I obviously, now that he's in the Cruiserweight stuff, and I don't pay a heck of a lot of attention to the Cruiserweight stuff, because I was like, for a while, I was like, hey, they had that whole Neville, and obviously now Cody's gone, but they had the whole Neville Stardust versus Arrow and blah, 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 Wade Barrett and all that, and I enjoyed him, so I enjoyed seeing this. I thought it was an interesting match. Any thoughts on Neville versus Rich Swann?
I just think Neville's more interesting now than he's ever been, and he's he's one of the best heels on the Raw roster right now. And, you know, if they're looking, well, obviously, I mean, they're looking for somebody to kind of carry the Cruiserweight division for a while. He's perfect because, I mean, the fans already know him. And the stuff, one of the things I love, and I know other people brought this up, but whatever, I'll bring it up anyway, because they're right. I love how his moves, he's completely changed what he does. He never does the high-flying stuff anymore. He just does like ground, and his new finisher is a submission. And on Raw, for example, he taunted the crowd as if he was going to do, you know, one of his high flying moves off the ropes, and then just doesn't. I like that he knows, you know, he's aware enough, obviously, that he knows what's going to get the crowd excited for him and that kind of thing, and he's just not doing it. And I don't know. I like what he's doing. To me, he's more interesting now than he ever was before. And that's not an insult. It's just...
Yeah.
I think this just works for him.
Well, and again, you have to, and that's why I think now, because WWE has this model of sometimes they'll introduce somebody to see if they can make it, and if they don't, they then take them back to developmental NXT or put them in cruiserweight or put them somewhere else that isn't solely on the main roster, so they can get better, so they can work on, and I think Neville really has done that.
Yeah. Or they just make them beat Dolph Ziggler every week.
Hey, leave the Miz alone.
Oh, it's not Miz. Referencing somebody else, but anyway.
And then we had, before the big Royal Rumble match, we had the WWE Championship match, John Cena versus AJ Styles.
Great match. Why can't these two wrestle every week?
I know.
I don't think this was their best, but I mean, that bar is really, really high.
Yeah.
So
the only way that John and AJ can outdo themselves at this point is, as if I said earlier, they have some sort of match where anything goes. They throw everything in the ring, including the kitchens, just every tables, ladders, chairs, hammers, whatever. Just throw anything and everything in the ring you possibly can. Just have the, you know, ultimate beatdown kind of match. That's the only way. But with their both of their talents and how different both of their styles are, no pun intended, you know, they just give us a really, really good showing, because AJ has his skill set, John has his, you know, and what I do enjoy sometimes is when they mock each other and steal each other's moves.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was really fun and really well done. But yeah, John won, and this is his historic win, because he ties Ric Flair's 16 world champion record thing, and so he's going to lose it at Elimination and then get it back at Mania to break the record, right?
Probably. I mean, we talked about this, so, I mean, Cena wins this match and wins mm-hmm. the title, but they didn't make a big deal about the fact that he has tied Ric Flair.
Yeah. Well, Rick reacted to it, apparently. I have not seen Rick's reaction, but apparently Rick did react to it. So that's interesting. I'll have to go back and watch that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they didn't make the big deal, because, yeah, they're waiting to see.
Yeah.
I think they're, well, I mean, a couple of reasons, and you and I talked about this off-air, that mm-hmm. I think they're worried about what's his future going to be like? How long is he going to be there?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think they do want to make a big deal of winning it and breaking the record. I'll be curious to see who he ends up fighting for that whenever it does happen. If it happens at WrestleMania, or if it doesn't, I wonder who it'll be that has it. So.
Yeah. And then we had the Royal Rumble match. That was interesting, where certain people fell.
So, wow, I mean, everybody has an opinion on this. Some people are really high on it and really enjoyed it. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of middle, and then there's some people that didn't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie, I'm on the didn't really like it. There was one surprise. It was Ty Dillinger.
Okay.
And it was an obvious surprise, because his gimmick is the perfect 10, so they had him come out at 10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was really the only surprise entrant, aside from number 30. So I'm sure everybody knows already, number 30 was Reigns,
yeah.
Which doesn't make sense from a storyline and show thing, because he just had a title match, and he's competing for another title match.
Yeah.
That just seems a little weird. Did he...
And plus, they have rematch clauses in their frigging contracts. Like,
he's yeah, but only if you were holding the belt.
Oh.
Which okay. He didn't, so...
Okay, well, that's probably why he didn't win the belt. So that could be possibly why they had it.
Yeah, but
Rumble.
Did he know he didn't win the... He wasn't going to win the belt, and he decided, like, I want to be in the Royal Rumble. Well, Roman, you already have a title match. You kind of yeah. already have a shot at it. Yeah, I'll need another one, because I plan on sucking. It just... It feels off, and... Having said that, though, in terms of actually watching this event, I thought it was brilliant. Just because they wanted the fans to be angry. They wanted the fans upset and thinking Reigns was going to win. And then they, you know, pull the rug out at the last minute. And then the other thing they did was, and this is, I sort of like this because it's long-term planning, but earlier he got jumped by Braun Strowman, so obviously they're doing Strowman Reigns.
Yeah.
But in the Rumble, he tossed out The Undertaker.
Tossed out The Undertaker.
And The Undertaker, yeah, stared at him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And did not seem pleased.
So I'm betting Mania, it's going to be Taker versus Reigns.
And honestly, so we've talked about this I don't know how many times, that if people want to boo Reigns, they should let them and make Reigns a bad guy.
Yeah.
Well, if he goes against Undertaker, man, he's going to be the most hated guy in the company. Because
yeah.
People were upset when he tossed out Undertaker here. Imagine a match between them.
Okay, so let's go back. What is it, a year or so? Yeah, wasn't it WrestleMania 32 or 31? I don't know. Whenever Brock broke the streak, the entire world collapsed. United States of America fell to pieces.
Well,
wait. The United States of America fell to pieces when the Undertaker's streak was broken by Brock Lesnar, even more so than when Donald Trump was made president. I mean, seriously. Everybody, you know, every audience shot they had that night when Brock beat the streak. Parents, men, women, children, puppy dogs, everybody had a single fucking tear down their cheek, like old 80s animation, like old He-Man episodes. Like, seriously, that was a more emotional moment, you know, for a lot of people. And I kind of didn't, it wasn't that big of a deal. This time it was more of a shock, like, holy shit, Roman Reigns, a guy we absolutely fucking hate. I don't, but most people do. Absolutely fucking hate, just put The Undertaker out of the Rumble. And it was kind of, I'm like, oh my god, we're getting shades of Lesnar here, because holy crap, you know, Brock, Roman Reigns of all people, defeated The Undertaker in the Rumble. And I don't, he's never faced Taker before, has he? I know he's faced Brock, obviously, but I don't think Roman's ever faced Undertaker.
That's a good question. Even in, like, tag matches, didn't The Shield fight them in tag matches when it was Undertaker and Kane?
Yeah, they might, but I'm saying Roman himself, like...
Yeah, not one-on-one, I don't believe so.
Yeah, when The Shield broke up and we had the whole Roman-Brock storyline, that was a huge deal because Roman had never gone up against Brock and whatever else. So I'm trying to think if Roman has ever gone up against The Undertaker one-on-one. If he hasn't, that's going to be a really interesting match. And then you've got Goldberg and Lesnar and all that with Mania and...
Yeah, Goldberg tossed out Lesnar in a minute and change again.
Yeah.
I mean, they're obviously just setting up the
Goldberg
Lesnar, and eventually, you know, at WrestleMania, presumably, Lesnar's going to get the better of him finally because he's hanging around, and Goldberg is 50 years old.
Yeah.
So yeah, they continue kind of setting that up.
Hold on one second here, Goldberg. You can't come down here and interrupt Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens when we're spitting fire, okay? You can't come down here and make your own matches. You know what happens, Goldberg? You know what happens to people who make their own matches, huh? You know what happens?
I mean, I enjoy Goldberg. I really do. I'm really enjoying watching him again. Because again, when he was on, what was it, 12 years ago? I wasn't 12 years ago. Well, maybe longer. I don't know. However the hell long he was gone, I just when he first came on the scene, I wasn't really paying attention at that time. But seeing him now, I love how he's just bulldozing through people, kind of like how Rusev used to do that. And obviously, it's different. Rusev's a little bit bigger. Or a little bit more, you know, whatever. But it's just one of those things where with Goldberg, I enjoy everything he does. From his physicality to his... He's got some of the best mic work right now in the business.
Which is weird, because he was always solid, but not amazing.
Yeah. Well, see, because we're in the age of WWE now, where you've got people like Paul... And I love Paul Heyman, don't get me wrong, I do. You've got Paul that speaks for Brock, and he goes on and on and on, because he's a hype man, he's supposed to do that. And, you know, Brock... Or not Brock, Goldberg just interrupts him. Yeah, you know, forget all that, Paul, or, you know, whatever he says, and just... I just absolutely love that about that part.
To be fair, the door can interrupt to Goldberg, apparently, so...
Yes, the... Goldberg has issues with the doors.
Poor. That should be his WrestleMania match.
It's kind of like the Atlanta Falcons. Their new theme song is "Blaze of Glory" by John Mellencamp, or not John, Bon Jovi.
Wow!
I know I screwed that up.
So I mean, there were a lot of other things in the Rumble. I should mention. Try to do it quickly. I mean, yeah. Strowman, they made him look like a monster, and then actually let and had Baron Corbin knock him out. Mm-hmm. So they're obviously really pushing Corbin, which you know we'd see a little later too on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. But they're obviously really high on him, and they did a great job with it. I mean, they made Strowman look good at the same time, and yeah, they let. Yeah. Corbin knock him out. So that worked really well. I guess a couple disappointments. The New Day came off really poorly, I thought. They have three of them, and they do nothing useful and all get eliminated at the same time. Mm. It feels like they haven't known what to do with them. Now, this week, they finally got some direction on Raw, but it was just eh. And then... You know, the next thing I didn't really like is what the heck is the deal with, or I don't know. I wonder what they're doing with a guy whose name I can't remember now. That's wonderful. Great time to go on a. Right. Oh, there we go. Now I remember. Sorry. What are they doing with Rusev? He's not a small dude, and he basically did next to nothing in the Rumble.
Yeah, I don't know. And again, Rusev falls into that category of you either need to make him a brute, not a monster character, but you need to make him a brute character where
he's a bully or something like that.
Yeah, you need to make him that character. You need to make him that Russian, you need to make him that Ivan Drago kind of character thing so the audience can have... Again, I've said this before. When it was John versus Rusev, it was America versus Russia. We had a point of why we were rooting for John and why other people were...
Rusev was the most hated guy in the company.
I know.
Like he was getting booed like crazy, even more than Roman Reigns.
I know. And now they don't... Because they don't know what to do with him, they've tried to do the whole joke thing with him and Lana and the wedding and all that stuff with Roman and everything else. And now it's like... He's one of those guys that we've talked about, you know, when WWE buries people. And it's not just, you know, and I know you've said this before, and it is true, and it's nothing against the guy, but when the creative team puts somebody up against Cena, and they end up being buried the next week and not doing anything, that's the same thing because they don't know what to do with Rusev, they're not using him
Which doesn't make sense to me, because wouldn't it be a bigger deal if they have Cena beat the guy, and then next week, you know, you give him another big win, and then you can say, like, wow, well, John Cena beat that, and he looks good, and then the other guy doesn't look so bad, because he went out and won. But no, you lose to Cena, and for some reason, you know, they put you in the awesome Ziggler... Summer Rae feud.
Oh, no.
That was awful. Awful.
That was beyond awful. That was worse than anything Fandango ever did.
Poor Ziggler, who every week fights Kalisto or Apollo Crews and loses.
Like,
remember when he was fighting for the title only a few months ago?
I know. Like, okay, look, I love Dolph. I think Dolph is a really cool character. He can fit in with it. But honestly, at this point with where they have him, I almost wish his career would have ended against The Miz. Like, seriously. Yeah.
I like that they have him as a bad guy, and they should build on that. The problem is, every single week he fights the same guys.
Yeah. If you're fighting the same guys, you can't grow and improve and, you know, all of that.
Yeah, and he keeps losing to low mid-card guys. I don't know. Anyway, the last thing I wanted to bring up from the Rumble before we talk about who won, which we should probably do.
Yeah, we are going to get to that, absolutely.
Is Chris Jericho became the, 61-minute man. Now, I don't know if he, there's some people have speculated that he legitimately got hurt at one point or got hit and he was down, but I kind of liked the idea that he just kind of like wandered around outside the ring or lied down for a long time and, you know, got in some minutes just not doing anything.
Yeah.
I liked that. It works for his character that he just kind of tries to cheat his way through.
Jericho's character has slightly evolved over the years, but let's face it. Deep down, he's still that long-haired, kick-ass, cheating asshole that he's always been. That's what Jericho's character is. He's a great... I mean, I've seen Chris on other... I used to watch, and I still watch every now and then, but like... You know, they used to have the VH1 top 90s countdowns or top art, because the guy loves music. So, you know, I've seen him outside of WWE, and he's a great guy, but his character in the ring is that guy that will do anything he can to win, even if it is sitting out, you know... I made this analogy last time. I hate to use it again. He's basically a tall hornswoggle sometimes in some of these matches because he'll go somewhere to save himself. Okay, Royal Rumble, you have to be thrown over the top rope and your both feet have to land on the floor for you to be disqualified. Remember that, folks. You have to go over the top rope and land on your feet. So if you go through the middle rope and land on your feet, you're not disqualified. If you go through the bottom rope, and he can either crawl into the ring or go over to the announce table or whatever, and there's so much, 30 men in the ring at one time, unless you have a real feud going with Jericho, you're not going to sit there and go out and grab him unless your storyline is to feud with that guy. So, yeah, I mean, he's always been that way, and I like that about him.
Oh, and also mad props to Jack Gallagher for taking the umbrella into the ring. it was some fun spots, and it was some of the only comedy there. I'll mention the only other comedic thing. But, I always wondered, why don't more people just bring a weapon or something to the Rumble? I mean, it's totally legal. There's two things that always bug me. Why, A, why not take a weapon or something? And B, why even bother entering the ring? Just wait until, you know, some of the guys are out and then crawl in. But anyway, the other thing I liked, the other comedic moment I loved, actually, is Ellsworth. I thought that was perfect with Dean pretending that, the two of us can take him. You go in there, you take on Braun Strowman. And then they start to run in, and Dean just stops and lets him go in and get thrown out immediately.
See, I love it when Dean does that. Don't get me wrong. Ellsworth really did screw Dean as far as the storyline goes and all that stuff and everything else, and I expect Dean to beat the ever-living crap out of that kid at some point. But I love it when Dean does the hijink shenanigan things that he does when it comes to Ellsworth, because Ellsworth's character is that of he's going to believe what people tell him.
But I also liked, too, that this is, to me, it's good continuity because, you know, Dean got to screw him over a bit, too, at the same time, and as if, you know, he remembers that stuff. Same with, they remembered the whole Xavier Woods hypnotized by Bray Wyatt from months ago that kind of got cut a bit short because of the brand split. But I like the little nods to kind of these things, like as if they sort of just remember the or haven't forgotten about it at the very least and just reference it briefly.
Yep.
And Randy Orton won.
So we're restarting the Orton Cena feud. Honestly, I have not seen the two of them actually fight in a match. Like, I'm sure they've had matches.
Oh, they've had plenty, yeah.
Well, I'm saying, like, the last 2 years, I don't really remember, because Randy was off doing his own thing and whatever else, and John sometimes was either taking time off or injured or whatever. So I'm kind of glad that they're starting this up again, because it's been a while that I can remember seeing a really, really good Orton-Cena match. And what adds to how good this is going to be is just the, I don't want to say inferiority, but the added agitation of whatever the hell Randy Orton and the Wyatt family is going through right now.
Well, the debate is, will Bray win at Elimination Chamber, and then you end up with Randy versus Bray for the world title?
Yeah.
Which is interesting, but then, of course, you don't get Cena with the championship belt at WrestleMania, so it would derail that. The other question I have is, AJ Styles has been the MVP of the company for a little over a year. Yeah. You gotta give him something big to do at WrestleMania, so where does he kind of fit into this? And then they're really pushing the hell out of Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Will he fit into it as well? They're really pushing the Miz versus Daniel Bryan bits.
See, I like that because I'm wondering if, and I know this probably won't happen because of medical and all that stuff, but I'm wondering.
There's a lot of rumors that it may.
You look at this week's SmackDown, February 7th SmackDown.
Yep.
Instead of coming out to the traditional just walking out to his entrance music, Daniel was doing his traditional jump around, skip, hands in the air, yes, 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 yes. So he wasn't just walking out. So it's going to be really, really interesting. And I like Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. I think that's fun because The Miz right now, even though he's not really, he's not directionless, and he's, but at the same time, he's not really, like, he doesn't, Daniel Bryan is his feud right now. The feud with the commissioner of SmackDown or the general manager of SmackDown is his feud at this point. And I just think that's going to be great. I think it's going to be interesting if Daniel comes out of retirement for one night only or whatever the hell you want to say or do. And, you know, I'm finding that so fun.
Yeah, I think it works out well for both of them, despite the fact that, you know, maybe we don't see Brian back in the ring. So I don't know. So when I watched it, I was kind of down on Randy winning everything. But with what's come out since, and the SmackDown was pretty solid again. I mean, you had all the contenders come out at the start. So in the end, I'm actually kind of excited because there's all this different stuff and all these different storylines going on, and I don't know what's going to happen again. Yeah, and that's fun. It's not this guy's going to win, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing about, you know, there are certain times in WWE's history when we can figure out, whether it's through dirt sheets, whether it's through behind-the-scenes stuff, we can figure out who the hell's going to win. But the fact that we're going in and we don't want to know, we want to find out as this, you know, as the, you know, entertainment happens, that's the greatest part about WWE right now, is that they're willing to, and I'm sure if we go on whatever Wrestling Zone or whatever wrestling, you know, hell, even WWE.com, whatever website, we can find out what could potentially happen, but until it actually happens, or what the plan, because plans in WWE change all the friggin' time. You look at Seth, you know, I mean,
we quickly mentioned that he got injured on Raw right after the pay-per-view the next Monday night, and got injured when I mean, talk about a freak sort of thing. So Samoa Joe jumps him, which, by the way, is wonderful. Joe, for 18 years now, has been an amazing talent, and it's about time he got more recognition. So congratulations to him. But, yeah, during the Coquina clutch, which is sort of a sleeper hold slash choke Joe mm-hmm. does, it's one of his finishers. He's got a couple. Just when, you know, Rollins was fighting it, he tears his knee again. Not the same injury, but the same knee. And yeah. he's out for about 2 months. And I feel so bad for the guy. Whether you like him or not, and I do like him, but whether you like him or not, you don't want to see like somebody who, it seems like, you know, his career, like everything has been going really well for him for a long time.
Right.
And then, you know, he's got the world title, and then he tears up his leg. He finally mm-hmm. comes back from that. They do the big storyline with him back. They do all the Triple H stuff. They finally bring Hunter back in. It mm-hmm. seems like, you know, we're finally going to get Seth able to face Triple H again and, you know, get rid of the demon that's haunted him, et cetera, et cetera. And he's on the shelf.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When the Shield premiered,
Mackey was good. Oh, sorry.
Wow. Oh my God, you had to go there, didn't you?
What? I watched the premiere of that too.
Never even said that. When it comes to that, folks, go listen to our episode of Breaking Bad Season 1 on Remote Control over on
this. I wasn't even referencing to that. Anyway.
When The Shield debuted in WWE, I was never really a fan of Dean. I kind of liked Roman simply because of the Superman punch, because it was a move that I had never really seen used. Like, I'm sure something like that has been used over the years, but not the way that Roman specifically does it.
I just wish he'd stop doing it three times a match now.
I know. Well, it's the only quote-unquote finisher he really has. But anyway, I really did like Seth. And then they had the whole Seth is the bitch character. Seth is bitching out to the authorities. Seth has to bitch out to Kane. Seth turns into a whiny baby. I didn't care for him at all. Now that he's actually doing this whole... I don't want to say he's turned face, because he's still kind of a heel character.
Yeah, I mean, he threatened Hunter's family, which is
not a face thing at all.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he's more of a non-pushover evil heel than he was 2.5 years ago when he was the pushover for the authority.
He's just more interesting now, yeah.
Very true. And I really wish they'd bring the curb stomp back, but I know they won't.
Ugh, I love that move.
I know, so did I.
You mentioned the Superman punch as something you don't really see. Man, the curb stomp was just so different.
Yep.
I really liked it, and especially his WrestleMania one where he popped up in the match against Orton, and Orton hit him with the RKO. That was gorgeous. And then subsequently, like later on that night, he would curb stomp Brock and Roman to win the title. But it was a cool looking move.
And again, that was the cool thing about the Shield. Roman had the Superman punch. Seth had the curb stomp. Dean.
Well, Dean just kind of has a DDT.
Yeah. I mean, they're calling him now the lunatic lariat
his bounce off
with his clothesline thing. Yeah,
I hate. By the way, Michael Cole first gave it the name the wacky line, which has got to be the worst name for a move ever. Yeah, thanks,
Look,
Michael.
There are times when I like some stuff that comes out of Michael Cole's mouth, and there are other times that I agree with everyone. He is one of the worst people in WWE announcing history, but he's not as bad as some of the other ones.
That seems, worst in history seems a little harsh.
Yeah, yeah. But what the hell was the deal with SmackDown this week when Tom Phillips was introducing the show? I'm like, wait, hello, you brought in Mauro Ranallo. as the SmackDown announcer. You're going to have the fourth guy that you bring in who, look, I don't know Tom Phillips from, you know, left to right, but I assume he was one of those background, you know, kind of like how JoJo is still kind of a ring announcer background. I assume Tom was one
of
those.
Yeah, Tom's been around quite some time. He's done a lot of the post interviews, like post-match ones.
So he, basically took Coach's job.
Yeah, he does a lot of WWE.com stuff.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's good and fine and whatever, but the whole point of mixing up the announce teams when they did for the draft and bringing Mauro in was that it was going to be Mauro and JBL and, to a lesser extent, Otunga. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse or that, you know, we're going through record scratch town here because I repeat this every single podcast that we do with these things. The announce teams are so... Corey Graves is fine. Corey Graves is good. Michael Cole is okay at times, but the rest of them, they all suck. How many times have we heard in the last month and a half any of the announce teams screw something? Like, Mauro, during Royal Rumble, said something about Hell in a Cell when he meant Elimination Chamber. He fixed it fairly quickly. He corrected himself fairly quickly, but there are times where some of these announcers will say something, and then one of the other ones will harp on them and say, "Oh, well, you meant this," or you, and that's fine. That's kind of funny, but like, oh my God, can you guys not? I understand it's fast-paced action, but
Part of it too is they've got somebody in their ear telling them stuff. It's hard to maintain a conversation when somebody's you got Vince in your ear telling you, "Yeah, and now shill the network," or talk about installing the app.
Yeah, and I can understand that to a certain extent, but when it when I see it happening, when I'm mentioning every podcast, like the last episode we did was the Raw and SmackDown Go Home shows, which we've never really done before. We've never, you know, done individual. We've talked about Raw and SmackDown in general, but we've never really done individual episodic reviews for those. And it's just one of those things where every time, it doesn't matter which show it is, either show or the pay-per-views, somebody always screws up every single time.
I've heard from a couple people the 205 Live crew is really good. That is Mauro, Corey Graves, and Austin Aries, who is an excellent wrestler and very good commentator. He's currently injured. And, yeah, he's worked out really well on the few things I've seen him on. He does all the cruiserweight stuff. So I don't know. Maybe he's an option in the future.
Yeah. I don't
now that I've beaten you down.
Well, I just don't know. Like, some of I'm sure JR made his
The thing with JR is, I mean, how long, you know, does he want to do it and stay in there? And I also think, just to be blunt, I don't think he was a fan of having to sell stuff constantly.
Yeah, and that's fine.
And give Cole credit, he's really good at that. He's really good at the multitasking. He certainly makes mistakes, but I think that considering the amount of stuff he's supposed to sell people on, whether it's matches, products, apps, networks, he's got a lot of stuff to do and he balances it well.
Yeah, and Cole does have talent, even though on air and on, you know, when calling matches, they all make fun of him. I'm saying I understand JR didn't want to shill stuff. That's fine. I have no problem with JR not being on, as much as I enjoyed his.
Oh, I miss him. Yeah,
yeah, I miss him like hell. But I'm saying I don't remember any from. I started watching full time right after WrestleMania 23 again. So that was what, 2007, 2006, 2007, somewhere around there. So I don't ever really remember JR making a hell of a lot of verbal mistakes of, you know what I mean? He balanced that so well. But it seems like nowadays, the announce teams, they always are making mistakes. And I'm sure, like you said, somebody's in their ear telling them to do this, telling them to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Because I don't think JR had to put up with that nearly as much. I think he would just kind of either ignore it or they would just kind of get out of his way. Also, I mean, you know, you go back and watch some of those old shows and it was completely different. They would just talk about the match that was going on. There was none of right. this. There's sure. none of this. Yeah, let's talk about 12 things at once and yeah. talk about everything except what's going on in the ring.
Yeah,
and I really think that's the thing with Mauro. I find when he's talking about just what's in the ring versus the future or, you know, two matches from now or whatever, he's really good and on point.
That's what I thought they brought him in for, was the actual yeah. in-ring commentary, and then you can have him maybe sell a few things at the beginning and end, and then have JBL do the rest of it with the whole... back in my day, or that's how you're not supposed to do business, or whatever the hell, you know. That's what I thought they brought Mauro in for.
And I think Mauro's also really out of sync with four people there, which is
that
insane.
Again, why did Tom...
We step on each other, and there's two of us. Imagine yeah. trying to work it out with four.
I know. It's one of those things where, why did Tom Phillips introduce SmackDown this week when Mauro, like, I thought Mauro was out. I thought he was sick or thought he, you know, had a day off or night off or whatever. And I hear Tom Phillips announce, welcome to blah, blah, blah. When we cut to the announce table, all four of them are Mauro's sitting right there. So what the hell? Like, I don't get it. I don't know. So next time around is will be episode 19. Gonna kind of switch things up here, folks, because pay-per-views are coming up fairly fast.
Yeah, we have Elimination Chamber this Sunday.
Yes, and then we have Fastlane after that.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, so we're gonna do the elimination of Fastlane. So we're gonna do 2-1 for episode 19. And then episode 20, come hell or high water, we're going to do that wrestling or superstar spotlight on John Cena. So episode 20 will be the John Cena episode.
If we're lucky, maybe he'll have somehow broken the record by that point. Hey, it's doable. You never know.
Yeah, it's
might be good doable. Timing to do it before it as well, too. So before or after, we'll see.
Yeah.
We know he's going to break it, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing with John at this point, like you were saying earlier, where, how you know, the guy's, what, late 30s, early 40s, something like that. I don't know how old he is, but whatever. I'm not looking it up right now. And, you know, how much does he have left? I'm sure if he wanted to, he could be going, you know, as strong as he is, you know, 50s, you know, maybe 60s, but again, what does he want for his personal life and that kind of thing? I know if he does retire from in-ring, that he's going to want to do something with the company still. He's still going to do his make-a-wishes and all that stuff and everything else, but let the guy break a record before he leaves. That was another thing that pissed me off about Dudley's. Like, say what you will about the Dudley boys, but I wanted them to get that 10th championship before...
Well, and I'll say this, too, that I think for Cena, it makes more sense to have him do it, too, because he's really been the torchbearer, flag waver, whatever you want to call him, since the end of the Attitude Era. He's carried the company on his back. Again, like him or not, he's been around. He's missed so little time over that span. Whether you compare him to anybody else or just in general, if you look at the number of matches he's had and everything else, it's crazy. So I think, you know, again, being blunt, he just flat out deserves it. He also deserves the opportunity to do it before he gets too old or, yeah. you know, risks something, because we know he wants to start a family again in real life at some point. Yeah. Well, actually, we don't know for sure, because on Total, what is it, on Total Bellas or whatever, he's apparently not a big fan of kids. I don't know.
I cannot. I have
oh,
not
man,
watched.
Oh, man, we need Dodd for this.
I know, right? I have not watched Total Divas in a long time. I've seen
one. I know nothing about it.
I've seen the very first episode of Total Bellas, and I just cannot, as much as I love these people, as much as I think it, you know, Total Divas in the beginning was awesome and interesting, I just cannot watch these shows anymore. I just can't. So yeah, that's what's going to be coming up on Mayhem Mike's Royal Rumble 2017, 0 to 5 scale. What would you give it?
Oh, man. I was dreading this. I mean, the matches were fine. I just, even now, you know, like I said, the Orton thing makes more sense, but it's not a Rumble I'd ever go back and rewatch. You know, if I'm talking about some of the better ones, there's way better ones. So I'm going to go 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I thought the Rumble was going to go down a little differently. And I think it could have gone down a little differently if instead of having Roman be the surprise entrance, you have John be the surprise entrance at number 30, because Randy was already in there, and you have, you know, basically you have John and Randy kind of do like a preview match of whatever might happen in the future, and then you have Randy still win it, and then that would set up a feud for them, for Randy to get the championship at Mania, or, you know, at for Randy to get the championship at Fastlane, and then
Elimination Chamber.
See, even I do it sometimes, folks. Yeah, I know it's horrible, but it's, you know,
Fastlane is Goldberg getting the championship off of Kevin Owens.
You know what?
That seems inevitable.
It wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
Well, I mean, they set the match, so I.
Yeah, yeah. But like, if they had had John versus Randy in the Royal Rumble thing, it would set that up, where Randy could get the title at Elimination Chamber, and then John could win it back at Mania to break the record. And then after that, who knows? So, I don't know. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here on Mayhem Mike's on Geekcast Radio Network and This Week in Geek. Geekcastradio.com, thisweekingeek.net. Be sure to be checking out all of our content. Nerd News on Twig returns Monday, this coming Monday. So.
After we record it, yeah.
Well, obviously. Well, this goes up on Friday the 10th. Nerd News will be back the day before Monday the 13th, the dreaded day before V Day. I kind of wish I was Charlie Brown right now, because I don't want any Valentine's Day cards. That poor kid. But anyway, anything you want to promote? Anything you got to pimp out?
No.
No. Okay. All right, folks. We will catch you later. And here's a funny moment. We're going to end the show like we normally end it with, "You just made the list," but this is a special "You just made the list," because my favorite, the winningest quarterback in New England history, in NFL history, made Jericho's list. So take it away, Chris Jericho.
And the greatest of all time. But you know what? I got a bone to pick. Yeah, I got a bone to pick with somebody else who everybody is calling the greatest of all time. Yeah, somebody who won a little game yesterday by the hair of his chinny chin chin. Yeah, someone who everybody's calling the GOAT. Well, you know what happens when you steal Chris Jericho's nickname? You know what happens when you call yourself the greatest of all time and you're not me? You know what happens? Tom Brady, you just made the list!
Oh my gosh. Yay.
Say, George. service, is it that time?
The house party protocol, sir?
Correct.
The Pullbag is the GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join your hosts, DFU and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comic book world. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classics, Origins episodes, After Darks, and so much more. You can find the Pullbag every Wednesday in iTunes, on Stitcher Smart Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, GeekCastRadio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag today.
You just made the list!
All clear.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon. Yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.